cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth.
Thank you, Father. Let's first of all see Ephesians. Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read verse 13. Let me know if you're there. Okay. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, right? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Amen. I'll read that again. It says, in whom ye also, after ye, in whom ye also trusted, right? After ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Amen. So you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. Okay. Let's go to First Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, are you there? I read from verse 1. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit, and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Amen. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before what? The world unto what? Our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of any man, or heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Praise God. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but what? The Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely what? Given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have what? The mind of Christ. Praise God. In Ephesians 1, where we read, it said that after we trusted in him, that then we were sealed with who? With the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit is to bring us into promise. Right? Is to what? Is to bring us into promise. He's the Spirit of promise. Alright. The Spirit of promise. So he is the one who will bring us into what has been promised to us. Praise God. Now that word, what has been promised to us, is actually what God ordained. Because who made the promise? It's God that made the promise. Right? So what was promised to us is what God ordained for us. Amen. In verse 7 of this 1 Corinthians 2, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That word mystery means it's hidden. We speak the wisdom of God mysteriously. The wisdom of God itself is mysterious, and even the speaking of the mystery of the word of the wisdom. That word wisdom means the inward ways of God. Praise the Lord. The inward what? The inward ways. The product of his complex judgment. Amen. So he said those things, those wisdom of God, they can be uttered. They can be spoken, but they are spoken mysteriously because they are mysterious. Praise the Lord. Now, so he says we speak that wisdom in a mystery, right? Even the hidden wisdom. You see that? In a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. There is a hidden wisdom of God. Praise God. There is a what? Hidden. There is wisdom of God that can be seen. There are wisdoms which are usually works of his hands. Right? When you come into the natural creation, there are also expressions of divine wisdom.
the way God made the universe, for example. When you can study the universe, you've not even started studying it. There are a lot of different things you can study about the universe. And each thing you study, you begin to see fingerprints and handwork of wisdom. For example, the way the planets are arranged around the sun, right? Look at our galaxy. Look at the functions of the sun, of the moon, of the stars. Look at the function of the ecosystem. You can say there's a serious wisdom there. Praise God. Now, but that wisdom is not of this kind. Although it's God's wisdom that brought forth creation. Right? They are works of his hands. The Bible says, all these things have my hand made. They are products of wisdom. But there is what he called the hidden wisdom. That which he hid from men. Or he hid from anybody, from creatures. There are dimensions of God's wisdom that is hidden that creatures can't just see. You can't just know it. That wisdom is God's, is his secret treasure. Amen. Now what he's saying now, but that wisdom, he reserved it in himself, but at a point he decided, I want to give this secret thing to man. Amen. He says here, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God did what? Ordained. That word ordained means he has apportioned it. He has decided that he will give it. So he ordained it to man for our glory. Right. So he wants to glorify man with that wisdom. You know, God's wisdom is also the inward thing that determines his glory. Right. When you see wisdom in operation, it's glorious. Really, glory is a product of a kind of wisdom. Amen. I don't want to go too deep into that. Glory is the product of what? A kind of wisdom. Without wisdom, there is no glory. When something is glorious, it's because there's a kind of wisdom. It's glorious because it is beyond regular. It's not. Is beyond the normal. It's beyond what everybody can just see and know. You can't see the end of it. You understand? There's something special, but there's something about it that makes it beyond the common. It has a glory. Amen. That thing, it's a wisdom, glory. You can't have glory without some kind of wisdom. Now, so the way God wants to glorify man is by exposing man to the wisdom of the Creator. Amen. Amen. No, now, but the thing is, that wisdom is hidden, right? It says to speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So, which none of the princes of this world knew. Are you seeing that? For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The princes of this world did not know that wisdom. If they had known it, they would have been able to calculate who Jesus was. And they wouldn't have what? Crucified the Lord of glory. So that would tell you, if the princes of this world means the guys who should know, the guys who should know things, they couldn't decode him. They couldn't tell who he was. It tells that this wisdom is hidden from men. Amen. Say, but as it is written that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. He has prepared them for them that love him. For them that what? That love him. What are the things which he prepared for them? They are the things which he ordained before the world, or the things which he has promised. Praise God. You see the same thing in different languages in the New Testament. There are things which he has prepared for them that love him. There are things which he has promised, which he has promised us. It's the same thing as that which he has ordained before the world unto our glory. Praise God. So he's saying that eyes have not seen them, nor ear heard, neither have they entered the heart of any man. the things which God prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God hath done what? Revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, what? Searcheth all things. Yeah, the what? Hidden things of God. The deep things of God. Not, there are things that are, they are shallow things of God. And then they are the deep things of God. Amen.
Amen.
They are what? What I mean shallow. Shallow means it's on the surface. God has a surface of him. Now, those things are of God, but they are surface things of God. You can see them from afar. But they are not hidden in him. Amen. There are some things that God hides in himself. That's the nature of one nature of God that we need to come to terms with. Praise God. If you, what makes you think just going to church is enough is because you don't know that there are deep things of God. Right? That there are things that God hid that church membership can't access. Just church membership by alone. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Because they are deep things of God. I mean, there is, if they are depths and they are hidden, anything that is hidden must be found out. Right. If it's hidden, it means that you can't just pass by it. You can't just stumble into it. There is a complex process through which you have to get to it. That's the by definition. Something that is hidden means there's something you must do to get to it. Means it's not easy gotten by. You can't really get by it. You can't really come into, you can't really have it easily. Praise the Lord. So you see, are you seeing there are some words that are popping up here? This, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That's verse 7. It's in a mystery. When it says mystery, mysterious. When it's a mystery, it's not plain. You can see it, but you are not seeing it. Right? It's not plain. It's mysterious. The wisdom in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
So mysterious means hidden. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So if it is hidden, it's mysterious, then to know it means it has to be revealed. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To know it, it has to what?
Be revealed.
If it is not revealed, I mean there's an extra process for it to be known. If there's no active process of revelation, you can't know it. Are you understanding me? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us. How? By his Spirit. By who? By his Spirit. How does the Spirit reveal them? Verse 10. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I told you last time that there are three in the Godhead. There is the Father, there's the Word, and the Spirit. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
In the Godhead, the Son or the Word is the hider. The Spirit is the searcher. Praise God. The Word is the hider. When I say hider, I mean he's the one who, where is their vault. You know what I'm saying? He's like the vault, the Word. That's why they call him the Word. He's the Father, then the Word, and then the Spirit. The Word means the Logos. The body of logic. of anything God is Him. So He is the keeper. He is the storage of divinity. Praise God. He is the Logos. He is the keeper. Amen. That's why He's the one that they had to send. He's the one that had to become flesh. Amen. That's why He will say that no man, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What He's telling you is that I'm hiding the Father. That I'm actually hiding Him. There He's inside me. The inheritance which was promised to you is hidden inside me. Right? And the way it works is that He Himself can't just by Himself just give. He needs the searcher, which is the Spirit. Right? The Spirit, you can't access the second person of the Trinity without the third. Right? You can't, because the Spirit is the only one who can interpret that world of the Logos. All of God was made into a logic and put into the Word, and into the second being. And it will take the Spirit of them to reveal Him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the Holy Ghost is the searcher, right? See, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
For the Spirit searcheth all things. The Spirit searcheth all things. Yeah. Verse 10. Are you seeing it? For God has revealed them to us. Verse 10. For God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. For the Spirit does what? Searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Without the Spirit, you can't discover the depths of God. Without what? The Spirit, you cannot what? Discover the depths of God. Because He is the one who searches the deep things of God. No one can access depths. Or that depths is what you call things that are hidden. Or the hidden wisdom in God. It takes the Spirit to search out the hidden wisdom of God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 11, for what man knoweth things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but what? The Spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Do you see that word? So the reason why we receive the Spirit of God is what? That we might know. What might we know? The things that are what? Freely given to us of God. What are the things that are freely given to us of God? The hidden things of God, or the deep things of God. Praise God. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given. Praise God. Isn't this awesome? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. You didn't ask for it. Some of us, they are pursuing us with it. And we are running. But God is saying, no, I have sworn, I have determined, I have said before the foundation of the world that I have, these things have been ordained. Verse 7, ordination, by divine ordination, it has been ordained that this thing has become man's own. Praise God. And God has sworn and he will pursue man. I want to give you my debts. Praise the Lord. Says that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 7 said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Right? Even the hidden wisdom. So, Paul was an apostle of hidden things. Before Paul came, there were apostles. But God had to go and look for Paul. And God had to call him and raise him up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And God had to take him through trainings. What God raised, there was a special work in Paul that God did. It was a training to see hidden things. To see what? Things that are hidden. Things that are in the depths of God. God raised him for that purpose. And he raised him up so he can access them. They can be revealed in him. That revelation, because the Son is the keeper of the depths of God. Amen.
Amen.
What did I say? The Son of the depths or the deep things of God. There are things that came from God but are not in the Son. There are things, okay, praise the Lord, that came from God but are not kept in the depths of the Son. There are things that were expressions of his wisdom, like I said, in creation. Right? All these things you see around you, many of them came from forth in creation by the wisdom of God. Right? They took wisdom out of him and used them to procreate. But those things are not there. They are manifest. But those things that are manifest, right, are not secret, hidden in his depths. So they had to raise Paul specially to be able to see depths. And they raised him so that he can speak those things. We'll come back here. Let's go quickly to Acts. Let's just see what they said to Paul. Acts chapter 26. Amen.
Amen.
Acts 26, are you there? I'll read from verse. This was when Jesus encountered Saul on the way to Damascus. Saul became Paul. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And verse 15. I'll just read from verse 15. It says, and I said, or from verse 14, it says, and when they were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I heard, who art thou, Lord? And I said, Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. To do what? To make thee a minister. A minister means, a minister is a giver. Someone who can give something, a minister. I can minister something. I'm a minister of something, means I have been equipped to give it. And to be a minister of something means you are giving something that everybody doesn't have access to.
Yeah.
Right? So they have to raise you and equip you specially to give access to others something that is special. That's what a minister is.
Praise God. So I to make thee a minister and then a witness. Both a witness is someone who can speak, who can give testimony. Praise the Lord. Someone who can what testify is a witness, right? Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will what? Appear unto thee. So it means I will appear unto thee again, and there are things I will begin to show you. Those things which I will show you, you will become a witness of them. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee. Verse 18. To open their eyes, right? And to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and what? An inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. To open their eyes, to turn them. This is why. So for this purpose, I know I have Paul, I have Peter, I have Bartholomew, I have John, I have the other apostles. They are my guys. But I have come to thee, O Saul of Tarsus. Praise the Lord. I have come for this purpose. Verse 16. He said that I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Praise God. To make thee a minister and a witness of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes. So the reason why I have called you is for opening of the eyes. Before Saul was raised, there was eyes opening when it was happening. Miracles were going on, all kinds of things, but eyes were not being opened. Amen. But so I have raised this specially to open eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Now, so it's clear that darkness to light is not just being born again. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's possible to be born again, but not know the depths of God. Or not know the things that have been given to us of God. So to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to what? Light. To light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and then inheritance. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you see inheritance, so he was raised to so that for them to bring them into inheritance. Praise God. So he, if he's raised to bring them inheritance, means he's raised the things which he should make them see, things which their eyes should begin to see, are things of their inheritance. And our word for inheritance is promise. Praise God. In Ephesians 1, it said, what we read, right? Verse 14. Ephesians 1, it said that, verse 13, right? That if in whom you also trusted after you have heard the word of truth, gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That same Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest. Earnest means the down payment or the first installment of our inheritance. Or is a token. The word earnest means token. Praise God. Praise God. Of our inheritance. So he is actually the one who will bring us into inheritance. So God was raising Paul here to bring them into the things that into the promise of the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. So this inheritance among them that are sanctified is what? The promise of the Spirit. Now, so you can tell, so it's the same Paul, this same Paul we are reading about here, is the same person who wrote this 1 Corinthians that we're just reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He's the one who was saying all these things, right? He is the one that said, when he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. He's speaking of himself and apostles like him. Right? That's what they speak. So it's clear. You saw where God, Jesus called him. Specifically, I have raised you. Praise the Lord. Amen. for you to be able to do this thing. So the way you turn people from darkness to light, the way you open the eyes of the blind, if you take people from the power of Satan into God, and the way you bring them into inheritance among them that are sanctified, is by speaking some things to them. Right? And those things which you speak it in a wisdom. Because, praise the Lord, those things are hidden things. So you see verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 2, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. You see that?
Yes.
We speak. So with this wisdom, those hidden things can be spoken. The way you give them, the way you minister them. See, I raise it to make you a minister. The way you minister the depths of God is by what? Is by speaking. Go down to verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Right? Now, those things that are freely given, verse 13, which things also we speak. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Which things also. So the way we give the things, or the way you can give the depths of God to man. How? By speaking. The depths of God can be spoken. It's through the vehicle of speaking. That's why I raised you. To make thee a minister and a witness. You see that? A minister and a witness. So that witness means, and I said, I will now appear unto you and show you things. So that which I'm showing you, you begin to speak them. That makes you a witness of them. Praise God. So which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with what? With spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he what? Know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Amen. What is that word, spiritually discerned? I want to just dwell here a bit. What does it mean for something to be spiritually discerned? It said the natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit. When you say things of the Spirit, what are these things of the Spirit? They're the things that are freely given to us of God. These are the things that God has promised you. Amen. Now, first of all, before we go further, these things, are they of interest to us? Do you think they are just maybe they are just extra stuff, you know? I mean, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, so if I have some time, I will maybe I'll explore those depths.
Yeah, there's a little bit of information stuff going through my head now.
Okay.
Yeah, because we started by learning that these things are hidden, right?
Yes.
And you said hidden stuff, conscious effort has to be made.
Yes.
To seek.
Yes.
And you clearly stated, which we understood as well, that the Holy Spirit is the searcher.
Yes.
So it's more or less a GPS, right?
Yes.
So, we actually seek for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that will be revealed.
The Holy Spirit will be given.
Will be given to us.
Yes.
And reveal the other hidden things.
Yes. When he's given, then he will now begin to reveal.
Okay. So he's to be given freely to us.
Yes.
Then in what context do we have to make that conscious effort to search?
Praise God.
I just want to make sure it's logically cascaded.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise. That's an awesome question. Now, where that word searching came from? Because I told you that anything that is mysterious must be searched out, right? Because it's a mystery. If there's no conscious searching out, you can't have it. Now, Now, but it's clear. It says here it has to be. We know it has to be searched because it's mysterious. But then he now goes on to say that eye has not seen, ears has not heard it, neither has he entered the heart of man, those things, right? But he now says, but God revealed them by his Spirit.
Okay.
For the Spirit searcheth all things. So the work of searching is not our own. That's what he's just trying to paint clearly. He showed you, first of all, these things are hidden.
Yeah.
They're not telling you they are so hidden. Man by himself cannot know them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't search them out.
Yeah.
But he's not telling you that this is the reason why you have the Spirit. So that that Spirit can give them to you freely. Right? So he does the job of searching. The Holy Ghost is the searcher. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So what we need to now learn is that inward operation of how to yield to the Spirit. Praise the Lord. It says here that they are, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It says, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What does it mean that they are spiritually discerned? He said, he's telling you the reason why he cannot know them, the natural man, is because they are spiritually discerned. What does it mean for someone to be spiritually discerned? You can only know them by the Spirit. Okay, say that again.
You have to function in
the ecosystem of the Spirit to understand it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, the Holy Spirit is a searcher, but he is not searching to know himself. Right? He's not, God, I didn't know this one before. God, I'm getting revelation. You understand? He's not searching for himself. He is searching to give. Right? The person who needs to know, you are the one. Right? So when he says they are spiritually discerned, they told you first they are hidden. Then he told you that no man can access it. He now introduced the idea of the Spirit. Who can access it? This guy can access it. Praise the Lord. But just telling the Holy Ghost can access it doesn't solve the problem yet. What's the problem is that they were promised to you, but they are hidden. They were ordained for you, but they are hidden. And they say you can't search it. See, this guy can search it. There's still a gap. Something needs to be breached there. Praise the Lord. Is that the Holy Ghost can be in you. The Holy Ghost in you has free access into God's depths. The Holy Ghost peruses in and out of the Logos as he wants. Because the Logos is his word. In short, the Logos is inside him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that Holy Ghost is carrying the Logos inside him. That Holy Ghost in you is carrying the Logos. The Father, they are all inside of him. Right. So when he's searching, he's actually searching inside himself to bring them out. You understand?
Yeah.
This spiritually discerned. It's not the discernment that the Holy Ghost will use. Of course, he's spiritually discerned by the Holy Ghost. He's searching the spiritual discernment of the Holy Ghost. But this, what they are telling here is a discernment that of man. Mm-hmm. There is a discernment of man. That man has the ability to carry out spiritual discernment. Praise God. I'll read that again. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually, what? Discerned means they must be discerned spiritually. So the Holy Spirit in you is accessing God's depths. But what he really wants to do is to raise your, is to develop your ability of judgment. Praise God.
Amen.
To what come into the things which he is giving. As he is in you, he's supplying things to you. Things about the depths of God. But those things, your judgment has to be raised to receive them. The next verse says, but he that is spiritual. See, verse 14 says, the natural man does not receive. Then verse 15 now says, but he that is spiritual. So, the spiritual man, when he says, the eye had not seen, ear had not heard, neither entered into the heart of man. That man there is just the natural man. He has not heard, eye has not seen, nor has he entered into his heart, things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but he had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Verse 15 says, for he that is spiritual judges all things. Praise, you see that? He that is spiritual. So, to be spiritual means that you have come into ability to receive things of the Spirit. Who is a spiritual man? A spiritual man is a man who can relate with the depths of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is a spiritual man is not just a man who is filled with the Holy Ghost. Someone can be filled with the Holy Ghost and carnal. Right? You have many carnal Christians. They are not spiritual. When Paul, first of all, the reason why he began to teach these things, you now see in verse 3, chapter 3, from verse 1, you see what he says there. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, right? But as what? Unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are now what? Able to, for ye are yet carnal. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So it's clear, it says, because you are carnal, a carnal man is just a natural man. He's not a spiritual man. You see, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. You see that? So carnal people are people who are taking milk. Milk is a dimension of the Word of God. The milk of God's word are the shallow things of God. Babies can access them. You can bring them to babies. Babies can see them. The milk of God's word are not hidden. It's a dimension of God that he didn't hide. They are shallow in him. But when you begin to move into the depths of God, you're talking of the meat of the word are the depths of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
For meat of the word, there is a special equipping you need. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you seeing that? For meat of the word, there's a special equipping you need. What is that equipping? It's called spiritual discernment. Verse 14. So, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Right? Verse 15. He that is spiritual, judge it all. That judgment is also discernment. When you become spiritual, So who is a spiritual? A spiritual man is a man who has access to depths of God, or who has begun to relate with the meat. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Are you seeing this? Spiritually, when someone, what moves you from being a baby to being mature is how much spiritual discernment. When I say spiritual discernment, what am I talking of? Discernment of what? The depths of God. Can you see things that are not plain? Do you get what I'm saying? Can you see things that are not plain? Or can you, do you have interest? Can you, are you able to use things that are not plain? To a baby Christian, attending service is enough. Attending service, doing the morning devotion, including your daily bread or your morning devotion, open heaven, right? Just do that, get that done, and then say your little prayer, go about, and you're being a good person. All of that is sin. That is a dimension of God that is sin, and that will satisfy a baby. That if I'm doing all this, I'm a good person, I'm a good Christian, I've done everything. There's nothing more left. What is left to do? What am I not doing? I don't cheat at work. I do everything nice. I finish my work. Everything that's given to me. I don't curse. I don't swear. I don't. I'm a nice person. To them, that is their finished Christianity. They're just waiting for Jesus to come. Now, everything they did is just, when you say Christianity, those are things that jump at you. You see, everything that jump at you when you say Christianity, those are the shallow things of God. They are not hidden. So anybody, even unbelievers, know those things. You know, if I become a Christian tomorrow, these are the things I will do. You don't need revelation. I will start going to church. I will start being a nice boy. I will start. That is what the world can see. Do you know what I'm saying? As a Christian, if your Christianity, all you are doing as a Christian are things that the world can see, then you are a baby Christian. It's nice. You are just a baby. Because you've not begun to access the deep things of God. Because the deep things of God, the world cannot see. The world cannot actually even see, cannot see or discern the Spirit. I mean Holy Ghost, His real operations. I don't mean gifts. The world can discern gifts of the Spirit. But the world cannot discern the workings of the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ said it. He said that the Spirit I will send to you, I will send you a Spirit which the Father will send. He said that Spirit which the world cannot receive. Amen. Let me just read it. Because he said he cannot receive because he neither sees Him nor knows Him. John chapter 14. I'll do it quickly. Praise God. John 14 verse 16. Amen. Are we there? It says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Right? And verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not. You see? It seeth Him not. I want to say the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, amen, whom the world cannot receive. That word receiving Him, is in, the world cannot receive. When He says the world, you know, He's not saying that an unbeliever can't receive the Holy Ghost inside him. It's not that. He's talking of that thing called the world. The world can't receive. That word means the world can't receive. The world can receive a carnal expression of Christianity. Do you understand? In short, if you are a very good carnal Christian that using the meek well, the world will like you. One thing about carnal Christians or milk Christians, the world likes them. Why would the world like them? Because they are interested in all the good things. right? Mm. When you see their behavior in the community, you know, they do nice things, their neighbor loves them because they mow the neighbor's lawn, they, you know, do all, they shove the snow. They are good people. You understand what I'm saying? They have, they are supporting charities, they are doing all those things, the good deeds. So the world likes that kind of, just be a nice person. So the world can receive that. The world receives that. You understand what I'm saying? The world can receive that. They have a place for you. Come on, fulfill your place. I mean, but when a Christian begins to move into the operations of the Spirit, you now begin to touch the areas that the world cannot receive. You understand what I'm saying? You begin to what? Because you now find that first thing the Spirit will now begin to teach you. First of all, love not the world. You now find that Spirit is teaching the believer to be an enemy of the world. It's possible to be a Christian, but you are walking side by side with the world. You are in the same course. So there's no conflict. You are okay. You are doing your nice stuff and everything. You're not conflicting. But when you begin to access the depths of God, you now discover that the depths, the revelation of the Spirit, will begin to chart a contrary course to the world. One of the things you now begin to discover is that the whole world system is built on iniquity. That you now discover that the things that men celebrate, you no longer celebrate them. You now discover that sometimes a man that the world calls good, the Holy Ghost begin to call him evil. The things that the world exalt, when the Holy Spirit begins to operate in you, those things you begin to disdain them. So, that kind of man, the world can't receive you. Praise the Lord. So he says the Spirit of truth, when his Spirit in his true of essence, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it seeth him not, neither what knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. I don't want to waste too much time there. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm just rounding up. Praise God. So I'm trying to paint that difference between the carnal Christian and the spiritual Christian. That the difference in carnality versus spirituality is in what you call spiritual judgment or discernment. Amen.
Amen.
Is that when you are becoming mature, you will now begin to, your evaluation of right and wrong begins to change from the surface of things that look good. Why? Because the Holy Spirit begins to introduce a different standard to you. And that standard, the world can't see that standard. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the Holy Ghost teaches you, makes you spiritual by what? Raising or developing your judgment. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Open Hebrews. That's the last, finally. Hebrews chapter 6. Or let's see, Hebrews chapter 5. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 5, I'll read from verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Right. Now when it says we have many things to say, this was still Paul. I believe this was Paul writing. Some people say Hebrews. Paul didn't write Hebrews, so I believe it was Paul. Right, saying we have many things to say. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So, but they are hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. It means you are dull of hearing, means you can't hear well. It's the same thing like when in 1 Corinthians, he said, when I came, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. I could only speak to you as unto babes. So it means if I try to speak to you as spiritual, you are dull of hearing. There are things you cannot hear. But eyes had not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of any man what God has prepared for them. So the ear is dull to hear the depths of God. If Paul starts talking shallow now, Paul, awesome. You have a wonderful day. Paul, you are talking it. Paul, you are hitting the nail on the head. This is the message. This is the message. Paul, mighty preacher of God. Amen. When Paul now starts talking mystery, which was hidden from the foundation of the world, before he said that, he was trying to talk about Melchizedek. You read verse 10. It says, called of God and high priest, the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a mysterious being. He's a high priest. Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So those are most holy things. They are not things for babies. Praise the Lord. Now say, of this man, there are many things to say of Melchizedek, but I can't tell you those things because you are dull of hearing. Babies are dull of hearing. Carnal Christians are dull of hearing. Things of God, depths of God makes them sleep. They are worried because there's no interest in it. If you now start talking about maybe one missionary project in Central America, they all wake up. Let's go and do it. Let's go and save the lost. Why? Because those are the things that Christianity means to the natural man. So because that will give them a sense. Yes, this is real religion. Let's go and get the job done. But when you say, calm down, let's not go anywhere. Let's just talk about the things that were hidden from the foundation of the world. Things that are in Christ. Begin to talk about, let's talk about priesthood. What happens? Sleep will begin to come because they are dull of hearing. Judgment is not exercised in that area. But judgment is exercised in how to be the best worker in church. Working in church is not bad. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Don't let Satan be telling you what I'm not saying. Hear what I'm saying. You understand? Uh-huh. Satan is bad. I'm just trying to paint, create. We need to be, let's be willing to be complex in our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not black and white. These are complex matters. They are mysteries. Praise the Lord. So does that mean a spiritual Christian will not be a good worker? No, you will be a better worker. But that is not all there is to your Christianity. Does it mean a spiritual Christian will not mow his neighbor's lawn or do all those things? No. But those are not the real things. Those are just the peripheral things that are just things that are done naturally. But they are his main meat is what? Is the depths. The things which the world cannot discern. Praise the Lord. So he says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. You see? So, it says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, or is a baby. Everyone that's still using milk. Means anyone who is all he has access to is using are the shallow things of God. Right? That's milk. Those shallow things of God is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What is word of righteousness? The word that brings true separation of what is right and what is wrong. You don't find true discernment of right and wrong in the shallow places of God. Because God's discernment are in his depths. Praise the Lord. So for everyone that uses makes unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a big, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Means they are not babies. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. Are you seeing that? You see these words? They have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. What is that senses exercised to discern? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? It says that he that is spiritual judges all things, right? Verse 14 says, 1 Corinthians 2, praise the Lord. It says that For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if a man who can know things that are spiritually discerned is someone who has arrived at spiritual discernment. And spiritual discernment means that it's not carnal discernment, it's not discernment of milk. Amen. It's called spiritual discernment. Praise the Lord. And spiritually discerned means that their senses have been exercised, from Hebrews chapter 5, to discern what? Good and evil. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I won't go further from here today. Praise God. Yes.
Why is it that you said that, like, the basic things, like the simplicity of the word,
yes,
is like right there. There's nothing hidden about it.
Mm.
Why is it that a lot of people still don't see the simplicity of the word, or still get bored,
mm-hmm,
or still get tired,
mm-hmm,
of the simplicity of the word?
Mm.
And then my second question is, how do you know when you, like, because it takes, you have to take enough milk to, when do you know when you are well grounded in the simplicities to now go into the meat of the word?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Awesome question. So what he's saying is that even that shallow things of God, not even everybody still knows it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I was speaking in terms of capacity to know. Amen. So when you have every carnal Christian has capacity to know all the shallow things of God, does it mean that all of them know them? No. But a carnal Christian doesn't have capacity to know the deep things of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Their spiritual exercise before that has to happen, even before you begin to have dealings with the depths of God. Right. Now, if as a Christian you get born again and you don't pray at all, you don't pray and you don't even read your Bible at all, you're very limited in things you know, right? But if you pray very well and study your Bible very well, you will still be limited, because there are allocations beyond just praying, right, and studying your Bible that the Spirit needs to bring you into. Praise God.
Amen.
The ministry of the Holy Ghost, when he begins to unveil, to begin to bring knowledge of the Son to you, that is a ministry of spirit of wisdom and revelation. Right? Ministry of the Holy Ghost that happened by revelation. It brings a revelation of the Son. Praise the Lord. Which is beginning of entering into the meat of the word. But before that, even in babyhood, there is still operations of revelation. Amen. But it is the content. There's a revelation of the milk. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The revelation of the milk is not the revelation of the meat of the word. Praise God. So even in milk dimension, there are degrees of knowledge. Some babies know more than other babies. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If someone is carnal and they refuse to give themselves to the word and to pray, the Holy Ghost can't do too much. for them. There'll be a lot that they don't know. Right? But if they are now praying and reading the Bible, they will begin to learn so much. But it will get to a point where in that babyhood stage, they reach a limit of what they can know. I've met a lot of very, very, very mature babies. But they've been like that, but because they've not gained access to the allocation of the Spirit for the meat of the Word, they can't move into the meat of the Word. Praise God.
Amen.
I don't want to say some things, but I'll just give you an example. Why did God have to go and raise Paul? Especially. Why didn't he just wait? Somehow Peter would just enter those things. Or John. You get what I'm saying? Why is it not just that, okay, if it's just that, well, from milk, we just automatically enter meat. Just like that. Do you understand? Why wouldn't you just say, well, they will just enter it. It's just a matter of growth. It's not just a matter of growth. There are things called allocations. There are allocations. God had to raise him specially and train him to access the meat. Because now you're talking about things that are hidden. Something might not be hidden. I just need to look to see it. If I don't look, I might not see it. But if I'm interested, I look, I will see it. But if someone now hides something somewhere, it doesn't matter, it's not by looking. That guy has to come and go and bring it from where he hid it to me. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That transfer from milk to meat, that thing, there's an operation there. That's what Paul is trying to tell these guys, that there's something there, right? There's an allocation of the meat of the word. And that thing is apostolic. Without that apostolic help to access the meat, it's hard to move from milk into meat of the word. I don't want to say too much today, right now, about this, but in each dimension, there's always a growth program by the Spirit, right? But I'll tell you, the true mandate of the Holy Ghost really, really begins in the meat. Do you get?
Mm-hmm.
It begins in the meat, that meat dimension. Yes. A lot of things in the the milk of the word teaches, right? Although the milk of the word, when you are born again, the life that the milk want to produce, they now produce it from in you. By an inward transformation, because you are born again. You understand? By an inward transformation, they will produce it in you because you are born again. But that life of milk level, you find that there are people who were not born again who can still arrive at that expression by an outward nurturing. Means the Holy Ghost might not be inside them. For example, disciples, just being with Jesus. After a while, there's some things they won't be doing. They will just follow his manner of life. Even though the Holy Ghost is not in them. But outwardly, you can wash them and make them clean. You understand? To do some level. But there's a level that can do. You can't act out meat. You can't outwardly culture meat dimension. Right? It is an inward operation of the Spirit that starts with opening of the eyes. That brings nature change. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Because for that, you need your own senses of judgment for discernment of good and evil to be raised higher. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And did I answer your question?
Yes.
I did. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me put it this way. Holy Spirit inside you can, there's so much he can tell you to do. There's so much, you find that in milk of the word. You see, people who are in milk level, you see, there's a lot of dependency on what you call, they call it the still small voice, or the voice of the Spirit. And they start training you with that, learning the Holy Ghost. Ah, Holy Ghost said I should do this, I was praying. And then I heard, or it was real to me to do this. I just had a leading in this area, right? In the milk dimension, a lot of the life expression, and that is Holy Spirit trying to govern your life. And there are things you are learning, you understand, in that period. But the essence of the meat is transforming your own judgment. Do you get that? What you now decide to do will be what Holy Ghost would have told you to do. Because they have changed your judgment by revelation. True transformation is in meat dimension, not in milk. That's why they say babes, people who are milk, are carnal. They are that carnal is nature. By nature, they might be doing some things that seem spiritual, but the actual nature is still carnal. They can be obeying the Spirit many times, right? But nature, their own nature, is still carnal. They are not spiritual. When they are spiritual is when they have taken on the nature of the Spirit, which cannot really happen without the revelation of the depths of God. Praise God. Amen. Let's just thank God for His word for speaking to us. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. Thank you for speaking to us. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will help us. We ask for you to begin to teach us more of the way of the Spirit. Lord, we're asking that you will move us even from being carnal to being spiritual. That we'll move from being babies, Lord, to being even into mature believers in you. Lord, we thank you. We ask for more of your filling of the Spirit. Because it's according to the measure of the Spirit within that we gain access into the depths of God. We pray that your Spirit will begin to search the deep things of God and begin to reveal depths to us. Father, we thank you. We ask anything that wants to hold us back from coming into all that you have ordained for us, all you've promised, we ask that you will help us with those weaknesses and supply strength to us. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You